Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And I, of course, am Dan Frio. And today we have a special guest. You've heard her in the past, Angie Stockton. She's a great friend of mine, and she's a realtor out in the western suburbs. And I hope if and when you look to purchase a home, I hope you use Angie. She's awesome, and we work very well together.
Yes, we do. Thanks,
so,
Dan.
Angie, today we're going to talk about, well, tell them your info. Just give them a little insight on you for, you know, however you want to, whatever you want to tell them about yourself, and then how to contact you.
Okay.
And then what we're going to talk about in today's show is probably the number one thing on why people aren't buying homes, mm-hmm. and it's down the lack of mm-hmm. a down payment.
Right. And so, the understanding.
What areas do you serve? How do they find you?
I'm in the western suburbs. They can call me, text me, email me. My phone number is 630-800-7740. You can email me at angie@greatsuburban.com. I'm on realtor.com, but probably the easier way to get a hold of me would be my cell phone, truthfully.
Awesome. Awesome. And we'll give that information out again at the end of the show. And I'll also have it on my website. You can go there. I forgot to put you on my website.
Ah, no, I wondered about that. There. Nope, don't think so. I looked.
Okay. I promise. I'll do that.
Okay.
Do that.
I was looking
I'll do
for
that
it.
First thing tomorrow. I keep forgetting. My bad. Okay. So, again, today we're going to talk about I have clients call me, and what do I want to say? I take them down the path of home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But you have clients that most likely call. A lot of your clients are probably even pre-approved.
Yes, about half are.
Okay, so let's talk about down payment, I guess. Do you see the lack of, is it as big as I think it is?
I do. I think it is that big. And I think we kind of touched on this before. A lot of it is because we're dealing with people with large student loan debt. And so they're trying to pay those debts down, and they're not saving for a lot of down payment money.
So do you, I know there's a program out there for the state of Illinois, and all the realtors know it. It's IDA.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a lot of clients that are going with banks that offer the IDA program?
Not a lot, no. Okay. I have had a few clients that have gone IDA, yes.
Okay. So I know IDA just changed some of the guidelines mm-hmm. to, it was really, I don't offer IDA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I know some generic information about IDA. So what I did a few years ago is because I was losing business because of the inability to provide the IDA program mm-hmm. to people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think this is probably one of the number one issues that with your debt ratio of why people cannot qualify for a loan. And what I mean by debt ratio, it's basically all your expenses on your credit report plus your proposed mortgage divided by your income.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it can't exceed 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So with student loan debt, and you know, if you have student loan debt and a car payment,
right,
and you're making 30-40 grand,
right,
I mean you're strapped.
Right.
So the down payment piece, let's assume we can get past the debt ratio. So now the lack of down payment.
Mm-hmm.
The IDA program, I'll kind of brush on it with a little stroke, but then we're going to get, you need more than your down payment. And that's what we're going to talk about in part of the future segment
mm-hmm.
is that. So the IDA program, from my understanding, is a 640 credit score.
Mm-hmm.
There's two pieces of it. You can get, I think there's a $5,000 grant and a $7,500
mm-hmm.
grant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who qualifies for what or how that works, but there are also liens on your home for 5 years. So you can't refinance. You can't pay off your home. You can't, if you sell your home, you owe the money back
mm-hmm.
and a lot of things like that. I know the income limitations raised to qualify, but the biggest stickler is the 640 credit score.
Mm-hmm.
The grants that we offer that I went out to find is will give you a grant with a 620 credit score.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the grants that we have, they're either free money, meaning they're forgivable the day of closing, mm-hmm. or they're a 3-year lien on the home, mm-hmm. so 2 years less than that. So here's how the IDA works, and here's how, explain, do you know how, I don't mean to put you on the spot, the down payment assistance programs, here I'll explain kind of what I'm getting at. The down payment on a program, there's different programs that require different down payments. There's a home ready program through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Mm-hmm. It's called different in each one of them. Mm-hmm. They only require 3% down payment mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. Then there's FHA that requires 3.5% down payment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
USDA and VA obviously are at 100% financing, and mm-hmm. hopefully you've listened to previous shows and you know that. So let's talk about, okay, I'll go back to my programs. You need a 620 credit score. We have programs of 3, 4, and 5% of down payment assistance. So basically, the grant programs we have, they're easier to get for you or get you approved for than IDA. I'm not downplaying IDA. Mm-hmm. IDA fits a good role. Mm-hmm. But we can get you more money, less credit score requirements, less time or lien on your property. So if you're in need of a down payment assistance and you need Angie to help you find a house and you need me to help you get financing, what I'm trying to get at is you don't need 20% down. You don't need 10% down. You don't need 5% down. We can most likely get you into a home with, our goal is zero. Tell them a little about when you negotiate with a client to buy a house, the seller credits. And you tell us how you negotiate a seller credit, and then we'll go back and talk about the other fees related. You need more than your down payment, everybody. Mm-hmm. If the down payment is required on a home of 3%, you might need 3% plus
closing
costs.
And
Angie's going to go over some extra costs for you next. But basically what we're trying to say is, if you're in need of looking for a home, you really want to get out of renting mm-hmm. and buy in the future, you don't need 10%,
right.
5%, 3% down. We can possibly get you into the house basically with nothing.
Yeah.
So talk to them about what a seller credit is. Is it legal?
It is legal. As you know, with a conventional loan, you can get up to 3% from the seller. With an FHA, you can get up to 6%. So what I would do, typically when I have a client that's strapped for cash, we'll talk about seller credits, and I'll go in with an offer. We typically go a little bit higher as an original offer than we would, because we know we're asking for cash back. We don't give away everything. We want to have some room to move. But typically, if we're going to negotiate something like that, we want to be looked at and be taken seriously. So we do try to come in a little closer to their asking price than we would if we weren't asking for the seller help at the end.
What's the normal? I know there was a rule of thumb years ago. If the list price is 180,
mm-hmm.
what's the seller actually looking to net?
What's the seller looking to net?
Yeah. What's the seller really looking to get out of it?
They're thinking 97%. I don't know if that's what you're thinking.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Okay,
that's always been the rule of thumb that everybody thinks.
Okay.
But that is not always real realistic. But that is pretty much the number
that
people are looking
for. So what we were saying is, on actually page 10 of the contract, there's a section there that says seller credit.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do, let me walk you through this process. Okay. So we're getting you an FHA loan. I'll put you into the program that'll give you 4% down payment assistance. Okay, so what Angie's going to do is, let's say the listing price is $100,000. We want to get we're going FHA, so let's say we're going to try to get a $4,000 seller credit. Mm-hmm. Would you go back to that borrower and say, we'll give you $100,000 and give us a $4,000 credit? Would you say, I'm going to go in at $95,000? How would you negotiate? If I say, Angie, I can get this person into this house, but we need $4,000 in credits.
Yeah, I would actually, I'd run a CMA, which is a market analysis, and I would look at how competitively it is priced. And I would go in at I would not go in at our top dollar. Unless we had multiple offers. If we had multiple offers, I would do that. Typically, they ask for you to do that. I would go in at a higher price that I ordinarily would go in at, but I still would leave myself room. So let's say $100,000 was a very good price for that home, and we need $4,000 back. I still wouldn't go in at 96 because we need some room to move. I would probably go in, honestly, about 94.5. They give us just a little wiggle room there.
Do you look at the time on the market?
Yes.
If there's so there's probably a lot of things that play into play there. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna forward ahead. Well, we're gonna come back in the next segment. Next segment is going. I know we're all over the board on this one, guys, but it's kind of a difficult subject to talk about. We want to talk about down payment assistance, but there's the multiple pieces of this puzzle is the down payment. What's needed in the program that you're qualifying for? Then we'll deduct the down payment assistance grant or money that you're receiving that then gives us a bottom line of how much money you're going to need as your down payment. However, when we come back, Angie will discuss with you the other costs involved that I don't charge, nor does she charge, but that are charges on the transaction that you'll need to pay. So even if we can get you all the money you need for the down payment part of things, you still possibly will need some money to cover your closing costs. And that's why I asked Angie, how do we get a seller credit? All this is going to tie again at the end. So stay tuned for us. We'll be away for about 2 minutes, but I hope, please, there's a lot of loose ends out there right now. We're going to tie them all together when we come back. So stay tuned. Again, this is Dan Freo, the Mortgage Update. I'm with my friend Angie Stockton. She's a realtor, and we'll be back in 2 minutes. God bless. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Freo, and today I am with Angie Stockton. Angie.
Hi.
We are talking about down payment and down payment assistance. Okay, so let's recap a little bit of where we were. The majority of people not buying a home, if you're really looking to purchase a home in the coming, say, couple months or year, you don't need 20% down.
Nope.
You don't need 10% down. It's, we're going to try to get you into the home with, hopefully, our goal is zero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's the down payment programs we have. I have programs, you need a 620 minimum score. You can get between 2% and 5% of the loan amount is a grant of some form. It might be basically free money. Mm-hmm. What I mean by free money is there's no lien on your house. There's no time duration. You walk out of the closing, and if you sell that house tomorrow, you don't owe that money back.
Right.
So that's the down payment programs that I have. So now what we want to discuss is, so Angie, somebody's buying the house. Mm-hmm. I come back and say, even let's say we got a VA loan.
Mm-hmm.
There's 100% financing. Now, what other fees are needed at the closing by the buyer, even if we're doing 100% financing?
Well, there are quite a few. Depending on the lender, there's an origination fee. There is a credit report. I'm just going to give you like a ballpark idea of what that would be. Probably not more than $75 for the credit report.
Got it.
Mortgage insurance. You might want to talk about how that works as far as you're concerned. But you have to, those that don't have the 20% down often have to come up in with the mortgage insurance. So that you're going to prepay some of that. I don't know if I want to give that to you.
Stop there. Stop there for 1 second. So those that section you just talked about, origination fee, credit report fee, MI.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I want you to look at, if you've been pre-approved or pre-qualified or you have the process started, we as a lender are required by law to issue you what's called a loan estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have that out within 3 days of pulling your credit. What I want you to do is pull up that loan estimate that you received. You had to have received it. If you haven't, please get on the phone right now with your lender and get a copy of it. Go to page 2. At the top left, you're going to see the charges by your lender. And I'll kind of throw it out this way. Most of those fees are, I'll just say it, our junk fees. The origination fee, we don't charge one. That's a buffer fee, meaning that's extra profit margins. You're going to see multiple things such as, and I'm sure you've seen these in the past, you're going to see an underwriting fee, an origination fee, a processing fee, an admin fee, a doc prep fee.
Right.
I mean, it could come in, those usually, on average in Illinois, those come to between $2,200 and $3,000 in fees that can be avoided. So, okay, so let's rewind this a second. Again, we're getting you all the money you need for the with the down payment assistance programs. What we want to talk about now is the other costs that you're going to incur and how Angie is going to work with you to get that bottom line down to zero. So those are the costs by the originator or the lender.
Right.
So keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, this is kind of an insignificant one, but prepaid interest. If you don't move in on the first of the month or on the 30th of the month, then you're gonna prepay any interest that for the days that you live in the home until the 30th. There's an appraisal fee. That's typically $350 to $500. There's what we call a title update fee. That's about $150 generally. Then you've got several miscellaneous fees that would be considered title fees and escrow fees. Just some examples. Chain of title is where they're just looking to make sure that the title is clear and it's passed from one owner to the other. About $250. They throw an EPA fee in there. That's usually less than about $100. A commitment update fee. Those are insignificant. They're like $25, but that's just to assure that nothing has changed so that the lender can't be committed to giving the money to the borrower. Closing protection letter, $25. There's an email fee. There are wire transfer fees. Some of the more significant fees, like an escrow fee that the title company charges, that's usually $400 or $500. You are going to have to pay for a title insurance policy for the lender. And you may want to talk about that, or I can explain, too, that, you know, as a lender, they need protection. They need to know that the title is clear. So both the seller will pay a title fee, but also the buyer will. And I don't know that all buyers realize that.
Can you explain what title is or what title insurance does?
It verifies that, I shouldn't say that. The attorney and title company, they are going to search for a clean title to make sure there's nothing on the title that someone has a lien on it or something's owed on that home when you're purchasing it.
Right.
The insurance is basically guaranteeing that that is accurate. And if something comes up and something wasn't found and it wasn't accurate, then it's covered.
Here's the biggest one that I had. Was a client purchased, this was several years ago, purchased a home, and then like 2 years into it, they called me freaking out because the previous owner put a new roof on, never paid for it.
Oh.
So they were coming back to them to pay for it. And it's like, nope, we got that. This is what this insurance policy does. It basically is saying from the day of closing going forward, you don't have to worry about any skeletons in the closet.
Right.
Anything that was in the past was in the past. It doesn't reflect you. You're insured that you don't have to worry about those things. So let me kind of tie this piece up. Angie just went through a 2-minute segment of discussing fees. Those fees, between the title insurance and the prepaids and the escrow and the updates and the EPA endorsements and all these things that you, when she said the words, you probably were like, what is she talking about? Don't worry about what she's talking about. These are fees, the legal fees of purchasing a home.
Mm-hmm.
Also, two big items are, well, one big item, but it's looped into different, it's city and state and county actually, are the tax. The taxes you have to pay on this.
The transfer taxes?
You have to pay a county city tax, a county tax, and a state tax.
Correct.
All the money adds up, everyone. So this, what I try to do is when I'm working with Angie is saying those fees are probably going to come to about $4,000. We have to take an average because everyone's going to be a little bit different. So, again, go back. We're getting you 100% financing some way, somehow. Either a USDA or a VA loan, or with the down payment assistance programs. And I have six of them. Again, they range from 2% to 5% of the loan amount. So don't worry. If you do not have a down payment, don't worry at this point. Okay? What we're going to worry about now, and you have a 620 credit score and you want to buy a home. What we need to worry about now is Dan is going to get you the down payment. Angie's going to get all those closing costs paid for you. This is where that seller credit comes from that she was discussing earlier. So remember when Angie was talking about the house is for $100,000, she's going to go in for like $94,500. But we're going to ask for, usually when she calls me, she says, do we need credits on this one? I then will go back to Angie and say, yeah, we need try to get $4,000. You know, in essence, I'm getting you the down payment assistance, bringing your down payment to zero. However, your closing costs are $4,000. Angie's going to work with you and the seller to get a seller credit for $4,000. That'll pay that cost. You're getting into a house with no money down.
Right. And I'd like to add, too, a lot of people, you know, years ago when people were buying houses, those were not, you didn't hear of seller credits very often.
No. So, never heard of
them. Right. So sometimes people look at you like, well, isn't that going to make me, you know, look like I'm not able to afford it. Now, it's true. If you have somebody coming in, giving you an offer without seller credits, they're probably going to look at the one that isn't asking for seller credits first. But that's why we go in strong, closer to their asking price for that reason. But it is much more common. I see it all the time. And sellers are becoming more familiar with it, too. So it's not so much like, wow, what are you asking me for? They're actually seeing this a lot.
It's an easy, when I discuss with this with people, I'm basically saying, you know, like in your example, the house is listed for $100,000. The rule of thumb is they want 97%.
Yeah, generally.
So just using that math generically, we know that seller wants to net or end up walking away with $97,000. So if we go back to them and say, you know what, we'll give you
94.5 is what I would go in.
94.5. Well, let's just say we want them to at 97. We need 4. So let's add 4 to that. If we end up at 101?
Yeah, 101, which I have done. We have gone in over asking price because we've asked for seller credits. But again, that's why I go back to running the market analysis, because there's absolutely no way right off the top I'm going to go in with a higher price than what they're asking for, unless we're in that situation where that's what it's going to take.
So, but on the seller side of things, I've had them in the past where even their net balance to the seller is higher than what they're being offered. If somebody were to negotiate that to you, somebody came to you and said, we'll give you 97,000, or somebody came and said, we'll give you 105 with a $5,000 credit. Netting your seller 100 versus 97, which one would they take, do you think?
Ordinarily, if I was the agent accepting that offer, I would want to talk to the lender and see if this is a very secure buyer. Okay. And in that regard, then I would tell my buyer or my seller to go ahead and take the one that was asking for a credit back. Simply because it's netting, going to net them a bottom line more money.
Again, I'll go through that with you and everybody listening again. You're getting offered $97,000 with no credits, or $105,000 with a $5,000 credit, netting the seller $100,000. Take the $100,000 and go.
Yeah.
So even if you're offering that, it still might make sense. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. God bless. Come back tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.